Welcome to episode 343 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard.
And I'm your host, Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms.
Hey, Richard, this show is special. Do you know why?
Why is this show special in particular?
Because the episode number is a palindrome.
Really? That means, that's why?
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly not me. I don't know. Maybe it's special because we almost have more audio news than any other section, which is unusual for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sticking with palindromes.
But don't we get one of those like every 10 episodes?
No. In 10 episodes, it'll be 350. Well, yes. Shut your face.
Why don't you share some listener feedback with us?
For your non-math related listener feedback, you can send a message to us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. We got one this week from Mark Davis. You might remember that name. Mark Davis is the guy. We've actually had him on the show, I think, talking about the plugin that he wrote. Oh, gosh, it's been a couple of years now. For Windows Media Center to bring Amazon video playback to Media Center. So he wrote in and said, I'm sure you and your constituents are aware that Microsoft Netflix were true to their word and disabled Netflix from Windows Media Center installations on September 15th. Millions of streamers suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced. Something terrible happened. Besides annoying me, I had to listen to days of my wife complaining that she couldn't stream National Treasure for the 108th time. I'm probably not kidding about that number.
I think I've only seen it about half a dozen times.
She should find a better movie to watch repeatedly.
Come on, anyway, that's a fun movie.
It's not a good movie.
It's fun.
So while exploring alternatives, I decided to look at one of my old development virtual machines of Windows 7 that I've not used in a while. And through some file comparison and snapshotting, I was able to isolate the change which removed the Netflix app. I wrapped that in an installer and boom, we're back in business. At least until Netflix kills the Silverlight player altogether. So while the usefulness of this fix may be measured in months, it's something. I'm working on a replacement app that will integrate the native HTML5 web app experience in Windows Media Center with some remote-friendly controls. Stay tuned on that. If you think your audience would find this info useful, which we obviously do, please feel free to direct them to my blog article with all of the details. So I guess to quickly sum up what Mark has done here is he's discovered that, yes, the Netflix plugin went away, and the way that they did that on Windows Media Center installations was to completely delete it from your machine. But if you still have it on a machine, you can copy it back and it works, which is kind of amazing that works, but it apparently does. And he's gone the extra step for those of us who don't have it on some old machine that maybe we haven't booted in a while to wrap up his copy of it and wrap an installer around it to make it really easy to get it on your machine. So there's kind of two angles to talk about this here. there's one that, hey, it's cool that it's pretty easy to get it back, but then there's the whole,
is this legal?
The legality in terms of service issues and of course, just like when we mentioned how there's now a way to put Windows Media Center on a Windows 10 box, you know, we talked about how downloading software from other people is risky. You know, Mark is one of those guys I trust. He's a known developer in this community. So maybe you can get around that issue there by, you know, if you just trust the guy. But then there's also people on forums just providing their own files through Dropbox and stuff like that. So which right. seems even riskier, of course. So I can't necessarily say I recommend this because of the legality issues and all of that, but if you've got some machines laying around, like how many of us have some old Windows 7 machines just that have been sitting in a closet, or maybe an old laptop or something that you haven't booted in a while? You might be able to just boot it up and copy the files for yourself.
Yeah, just make sure you don't connect it to the internet yet.
Right. Yeah, don't let updates run.
Well, I think you make a good point. I mean, I would trust that this is legit coming from Mark. I think my bigger concern is I wouldn't want people just going out to any old forum and getting it. And I still question, maybe legality is the wrong word, but I question whether this would violate the terms of service that we all ignored when we initially agreed to use the Netflix app.
What do you mean we ignored it?
Well, as with any installation of a plugin to Windows, there was a click-through acknowledgement when you installed the Netflix app.
Oh, so you're just saying that no one read it?
Well, did you read it?
Yeah, totally, Richard. No. No, that's a good point. Maybe that is a better way of describing this issue. So it's out there. I would obviously recommend that if you really want to try this, try to get it from your own machine. That's going to be the safest route. What I'm really excited about here is that Mark, a trusted developer in this community, is working on a new app for us.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I think that is great. Here's my concern.
Uh-oh.
Just as with the Amazon app, I'm not willing to log into any third-party service through anything but an OAuth authentication method.
Then you're going to be out of luck because Netflix doesn't use OAuth.
Yeah. So there's that.
Sure. That's completely understandable.
But other people may not be as paranoid as I am.
Right.
In fact, I think it's fair to say that many people are not as paranoid as I am.
Right. Probably not. And if you're a coder, you can, I believe he released the source code for the Amazon app, and you could look through it and see if he's doing anything bad with your credentials. And you could probably do the same with the Netflix one if he makes that open source also. But that requires a level of technical expertise that many people obviously don't have. So I understand that too. Either way, very interesting news from Mr. Mark Davis. Definitely going to be keeping a close eye on what he does in the future with Netflix and Windows Media Center in general. So thank you, Mark. We, of course, have a link to his article for more information and for you to get a hold of him to potentially help out or test the new Netflix app that he's working on. That will all be in the show notes. So that was kind of our feedback and our video news for the week. So let's...
I was just going to say that.
So why don't we jump into our audio news now? This is...
Wait. I have to get the soundboard ready. We have to play Taps now.
Ah, yet again. we say goodbye as another one of our loved services disappears, goes away into that wonderful place in the sky. Zune, we loved you. Feels like we hardly knew you, because frankly, I haven't touched a Zune in years.
Well, oh, no, come on. So in all fairness, what we're talking about really is the Zune services, right? The Zune services are going to be turned off.
Right.
That doesn't mean that your Zune, if you're still willing to tether it to a computer and sync content to it, is going to stop working. It's not.
Right. You know, and frankly, if I had a Zune HD, I might still use it because that thing was awesome.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
But no, you're absolutely correct. The Zune hardware players are still going to work. If you want to plug it into your computer and copy music to and from it that way, that'll totally work. It's just the services that aren't going to work. What that also means is that if you're a Zune Music Pass subscriber, that's changing. It's not really going away because the service never really went away. It just got renamed. And eventually, you know, it initially got renamed Xbox Music. Now we know it as Groove Music. So if you're a Zune Music Pass subscriber, you will be automatically transitioned over to being a Groove Music subscriber.
And I can't believe that that didn't happen already. That's just amazing to me.
Yeah, I just had assumed that when it changed to Xbox music, it changed to Xbox music for everybody.
But no, in fact, Zune Music Pass holders were grandfathered into the program that they originally signed up for, which was a pretty good deal.
It really was. If you got in, gosh, how long ago was that at this point? 8 years ago?
A while.
Yeah. You could have signed up to a plan that also included the ability to download and keep forever 10 tracks every single month. And unfortunately, that is going away. As you move to the Groove Music Pass subscription, that feature isn't there anymore. So that just won't be there. The other thing to note here is that the type of subscription that you're on also matters. If you're on a monthly or an annual Zune Music Pass subscription, you'll be transitioned to the same with Groove Music. You'll stay monthly or you'll stay annual. But Zune also had these weird 3-month subscriptions, and that doesn't exist on the Groove Music side. So if you're on the 3-month, they're just going to turn that into a monthly and automatically renewing monthly subscription. The other thing is, this is all happening November 15th. If you want to cancel before then, which I really don't know why you would, but if you do, then you could potentially get a little bit of a refund. It's not going to be much, but you could potentially get somewhat of a refund. But again, like, is anyone still a Zune Music Pass subscriber just so they can get the 10 free music tracks? I can't imagine that's the case. So I really don't see a lot of people dropping the service just because the name changed and that part of it's going away.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's nice that was still out there. Now, Sixlayer and I have the same question. In the chat, he's asking, what about the podcast directory? That was a part of the Zune services too.
That is a good question. I would not be surprised if that goes away.
I wouldn't either. And he makes the point that that service is used by the podcasts app that's available for the Windows platform devices. So what's going to happen to that if that goes away? So yeah, this is something I want to watch.
Yeah, if I were a betting man, I would bet that that podcast directory goes away and so does the podcast app, especially since at least on Windows Phone, Microsoft has a podcast app now. It's not all that great, but it doesn't use that directory, which is part of the problem.
Yeah, right. Right. You know, I searched for Home on my Windows Phone this week. You know what? Can't find it.
Nope.
Cannot get to it. I can finally get to Grammar Girl. Couldn't do that before, but I can't get to Home On.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you just shouldn't use that app.
Well, and that's why applications like podcasts existed and other applications like that. Now, we've talked about Pocket Casts and other apps that exist for the platform as an alternative, but it's frustrating that one of the good apps that was out there may actually stop working as a result of these services going away. So again, we don't know for sure. We're going to have to kind of keep tabs on that and see what happens. That's an app that I have on my device, and I'll be checking it as we get close to this November 15th date.
Well, you know, frankly, I wasn't that big of a fan of that app either. And it doesn't seem like that app has been getting maintained, does it? I mean, I haven't used it in a while. Are recent podcasts available in that app?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Serial and Undisclosed and Startup,
well,
and
anything that, so that's the thing, right? Anything that is in the podcast directory that came from Zune. So Serial, maybe, I don't know. Undisclosed, I very seriously doubt would be there. Reply All, I doubt would be there. New podcasts, there was no way to submit them to the Zune marketplace.
Well, there was to Zune, but not to podcast, really.
Well, no. So we may be confusing things. I'm not talking about the podcasts app that comes on Windows Phone. I'm talking about the app called, all uppercase, podcasts, followed by an exclamation point.
Yeah, I'm talking about that same one.
it uses the Zune services
right
to get content. So what do you mean that you I'm confused.
Well, so back when Zune was still really a thing, there was a way to submit new podcasts to Zune, and there were people working on the back end to get those into Zune.
Right.
And therefore into this podcast app.
Right.
That's not really happening anymore.
Right. Which is why stuff like Reply All and Startup and things like that probably wouldn't be there.
Right. That's what I want to know is Reply All. And I'm just checking. You know what? Reply All is there.
Really?
That's interesting. Because I figured nothing new would be here.
Right.
So
weird.
Huh. That makes me really wonder. Undisclosed is not there though. Interesting. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Like I said, I wasn't that big of a fan. Podcast, I'm not even sure if it allowed you to download. I think you had to stream, and I'm a big downloader and whatever. But you know, I do actually want to take a quick moment. This isn't in our notes, but I want to rant about something else podcast related. I got really excited when Pocket Cast was released for Windows Phone.
Okay.
And in a lot of ways, it's still a really good app. In a lot of ways, it still does some things better than all of the other apps. But you know how many times it's been updated since it came out?
Never.
Never. And it has some features that are really obvious that are still missing, like video podcasts don't play the video. And there's, you know, it's not the most stable. It doesn't run the greatest in the background. So if I'm using Bluetooth headphones and the app, like I've been listening for a while, maybe I'm working in the yard or in the garage and now I want to pause it. So I push the button on my headphones and it just kind of doesn't work and doesn't pause and it doesn't resume. And you know, some things like that, that have just, they've been there since they released the app because they haven't released an update. Give us a freaking update to Pocket Cast. It's
weird.
A great app. I gave you money. I expect some updates.
Yeah, maybe you should use your Zune.
My Zune doesn't really work well anymore. I think it requires a constant power connection at this point. All right, so let's move on. You know, I wouldn't want to use a Zune because it's got to be plugged in, and people, we don't like wires nowadays. We like everything about our music wireless, including our speakers.
It's funny, I do everything wireless nowadays, so I totally understand. But yeah, you know, I have some of these wireless speakers, actually.
You do?
And I'm a big fan.
Which speakers would those be?
Those would be the Sonos speakers. Now, my friend Christopher came on Home On about a year and a half ago and talked about his Sonos system that I thought, oh, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to spend that kind of money on individual speakers around the house. I don't need those. And I bought one, just one of them. And I got totally sucked into the thing. I think I have like five or six now.
Holy cow.
Yeah. It's an addiction.
That's what everyone says about Sonos. So why are we talking about Sonos?
Well, because Groove Music, which was previously available through Sonos Labs, is now an official Sonos channel. So you can hook up your Groove Music account to Sonos and play the music that is available through Groove Music or in your collection. Unless you don't have a music pass. Wah, wah.
Well, so what are the actual limitations of not having a music pass?
Well, you would think that it would be that you'd only be able to play the things that are in your collection, just as if you were online or in the app itself, or that if you were playing something that you had stored up on your OneDrive. Now, the weird thing is that it appears to actually let you play music from your OneDrive that appears in your collection with all your other music, but it will not play the other music in your collection. So it's a crapshoot, Josh. I mean, if you have collection music that is only in the online account, and then you have other music that is up on your OneDrive, there's no way of differentiating that in your collection. That's the beauty of the collection. It makes it look seamless.
Hmm.
So, yeah, the implementation's a little bit clunky. I'm a bit disappointed by it.
All right. Well, if you're a Sonos user, aren't you used to using it primarily with paid services anyway?
Well, yes, except that you can use it with services that you don't pay for. Like, you can use it with a free Pandora account, or you can use it with other services that let you get to the content that you have. Like Google Music, for example, I can get to the content that I have in my Google account even without a Google Music Pass or whatever they call it.
But you're saying you can do that with Groove as long as it's in OneDrive.
Right, but that means you have to put all of your collection, all of your purchases in OneDrive. Why should you have to do that?
Isn't that the exact same thing as using Google Play Music?
No.
Don't you have to put it all in the Google Cloud?
No, you don't. No, I'm pretty sure you don't. I'll have to double check that, but I'm pretty sure that I can play the music that's in my Google account that I've purchased, and it's in the account, even though I don't have a monthly pass. I'll check that, and I'll report back next week.
Right, but if it's music that you've purchased from Google and don't have a monthly pass, it's in the Google Cloud.
It's in the Google Cloud, but it's not in my Google Drive. That's the difference.
Hmm. Okay.
So, it's weird.
All right.
It's weird. But it's nice that it's there, and I wanted to make the point that while they're there, it's notable that Apple Music still is not. And I think that that's a big omission right now.
Hmm. Well, Apple Music's got all sorts of issues. Not being on Sonos is not the least of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. And I'm coming up toward the end of my free 3-month trial, and I'll wonder if I renew it or not. I probably won't, but I will say it is real nice to be able to just say to my phone, hey, I want to hear Name Any Song Here, and it just starts playing it.
Does Cortana do that with Groove Music?
I don't know.
I don't know either, and I don't have a Groove Music Pass. I'm a Spotify guy, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, that's probably enough about Groove Music and Sonos for this week.
We'll talk about it next week.
Let's move on to some gaming news. So last week we discussed how you can prepare yourself to get into the new Xbox One Experience preview program. And we discussed how we were a little excited, a little nervous.
Yeah, maybe. This is emotional preparation. That's what you're talking about, right? Well,
we had a little group therapy session going on for, you know, trying to work out these issues. Well, we didn't even know what issues we were getting ourselves into when we recorded that episode. Later in the week, when the invitations for this went out, they also put out some release notes saying, here's what you can expect. Oh, and here's the list of known issues. Now, we're used to seeing a list of known issues for preview software. And it's usually, oh, these couple of things don't work, and these couple of things might be a little flaky. That's not the case this time around.
No. This is big stuff. This is like titles you paid for may not launch.
Right. Like little games that I mean, they're little games that no one would possibly care about, like Destiny the Taken King, Assassin's Creed, Forza Motorsport 6. Oh, yeah, it just came out last week. Why
Xbox
would you want to play
Fitness,
that?
Fitness, Skylanders. I mean, come on.
Right. And that's just games. There's also a huge list of apps that don't work. And what I really loved was this list of apps works, but the video playback portion doesn't. And they're all video playback apps.
And that's what they are. And so, this is not like minor stuff, right? This is not like some random channel. This is ABC, Vudu, Sling TV, Showtime. I mean,
right.
This is nuts.
Yeah. So there's that. And then there's just this giant list of other random things, like don't hold a button down on your controller while you're also pressing the Xbox button, or else it'll get locked in this weird power menu thing. Automatic downloads for games won't work anymore. A bunch of stuff in the browser's broken. Notifications might not work all that well. This is where it gets really scary for me. There's even issues with live TV. It says that cable and satellite set-top box compatibility is not yet at parity with the current Xbox One experience. What does that mean for media center users?
Yeah. Wow.
So that's kind of terrifying. You know, workarounds like unplugging and replugging in the HDMI cable. All right, that's not horrible. It's better than a bunch of these which say that the fix is a hard reset. And what I haven't been able to determine yet is when they say hard reset, do they mean holding the power button for 10 seconds or do they mean wipe the system?
Oh, no, it's got to be a hold the power button thing.
I sure hope it's a hold the power button thing. But a lot of times when we talk about hard resetting devices, it means you're wiping the thing.
Yeah, I can't imagine it really means that. Now, the thing that just, I don't know, what's your experience with previews, Josh? Are they ever this janky? I mean, this is not even, you know, in the chat room, they're saying that this is really quite beta. I don't even think this is beta. This is alpha. Now, I can't say I'm surprised because it's an upgrade to the main OS. But why would you make it available in this condition?
Yeah, this just doesn't seem ready for public consumption yet. And the scary thing is, tell me if this sounds familiar. This is supposed to come out soon, and it doesn't sound like it's anywhere close to being done. Kind of sounds like something else Windows 10 related. Windows 10 Mobile. Windows 10 Mobile is more stable than what this appears to be. But yeah, this, like, I'm a little bit scared because I, last Wednesday night at 10:45 or whatever, up pops a message from Xbox saying, you now have the ability to opt in. And I said, sure, opt me in without reading the release notes. And then the next morning I saw this, and I'm just hoping that it doesn't go horribly wrong because my entire family depends on this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, with,
this is a mess.
And with Netflix not working in Media Center anymore, the Xbox is how we watch Netflix.
Right. This is your Netflix box now. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
I'm a little nervous.
You know, it's funny. I hate the kind of headline that is on the post that we'll have in our show notes for this story. But I don't think that they could have written a more accurate headline than this.
And that headline is, here's what's broken in the first wave of the new Xbox One experience preview.
Yeah. It's that, here's what you need to know, blah, blah, blah. I hate that right. crap. It's link bait. But in this case, it is so on target.
And the post just keeps scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. It's like, this list could have been shorter if you told us what worked. I mean, that's not true exactly, but I don't know. So we'll see. I'm going to throw in another post here. I found some people over on Reddit. Reddit is a really decent place to go to find things like this, where a user who's already in the beta posted a ton of screenshots and a video of him using it, so you can get an even better idea of how this is coming along for you. Richard, Xbox also posted an 8-minute video
with nothing in it.
Did you watch? So you watched
it? Yeah, I absolutely watched it. It's Major Nelson going through absolutely nothing. I mean, it was the biggest letdown. They don't really go through the dashboard at all. The whole time they're talking about, I forget what they even call it.
But the side menu thing.
Whatever the thing on the side is where all your friends are. That's all they were really focusing on the entire video.
Well, and that is one of the biggest enhancements to this. And it's something you're going to use a ton because that's what's going to pop up when you're in the middle of a game and push the Xbox button on your controller. And the stuff that's in that side menu, for the most part, I'm really happy with. I love the settings section for controlling the audio stuff. The friends list stuff looks better. The party stuff all looks better. I can't think of anything that was in that side menu that I didn't like. What I don't like is the main dashboard.
Right.
They've, and from when we saw it a couple of months ago to now, it seems like it's actually kind of worse. Because when I look at the dashboard, I want to be able to see a lot of things. I want to be able to see what are the most recent things I've been playing. I want to see what my friends are doing right now. And instead, I get one gigantic image of the last thing that I was doing, and I can hardly see anything else at all.
Well, I think you have to scroll and scroll and scroll down a page that's almost as long as this list of things that doesn't work to see all that.
Well, I think friends, you have to like swipe over, or you could use the
oh yeah, for friends, you have to go to that side menu. That's right. It's not in the main screen anymore.
Right. Yeah. And they did say in that video that pressing, I think it's the trigger buttons. If you press the right trigger, it'll take you straight that's down to the pins.
Awesome. What's that in my remote?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, it's nothing in your remote because even the remote has issues in the new beta. how do you break half of the remote with a software update? They found a way. So, all right. Well, I still don't have it yet. I'm assuming you don't have it yet.
Oh, no. I am waiting until they force it on me.
Oh, you're not even opting in.
I have no intention of opting in.
You're such a chicken. Okay. All right. So that's that. On a more positive Xbox note, we have a new Xbox beta app released for Windows 10. And this beta, far more stable than the Xbox dashboard beta. This one, basically, it's a beta version of the Xbox app that we already have on Windows 10. Think of it the way that Microsoft released the Smart Glass apps, the last generation of all of this. There was a Smart Glass app, and there was a Smart Glass beta app. And basically, you just install the beta app and forget about the other one because they're pretty stable and that's where all the new features are. Yay. That's the case with this. I installed the beta tonight, ran them both side by side. It's the beauty of windowed modern apps, I suppose. You can't really tell the difference just by looking at it. The only feature that I've seen officially announced for this, and by officially announced, I mean Major Nelson mentioned it in a tweet, is that they've made the friends activity feed update in real time, which is really cool. I mean, that is the primary thing that I use this Xbox app for. If I'm sitting at my computer working on stuff, I like to keep that app open so that I can see if, you know, what my friends are doing. And maybe if they're playing something cool that I want to play with them, I'll notice and decide to go and play my Xbox instead of doing whatever work it is that I'm doing on my computer. So the fact that it now refreshes itself instead of me having to click that refresh button all the time is a welcome enhancement.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yep. So we'll, of course, have a link for that in the show notes, too. And, you know, I wanted to cover, it's not a new feature, but it's a feature that probably a lot of people haven't used yet because we've been in the early stages of the new generation of gaming consoles. And when you're early on, the consoles are really expensive and you probably only own one. But, you know, we've gotten the price drops now and now we're heading into the holiday season and maybe some people are considering buying a second or even more Xbox Ones to use in their house. And there's a really cool feature that the Xbox One has that I think a lot of people don't know about, or even if they do know, they may not completely understand. And it's a way to share games between consoles, so without having to buy them on both machines. So here's the example, because a coworker of mine just did this. He has his Xbox. It's in the basement. He just bought his son one. It's in his son's room. His son's Xbox was the Forza one. It came with Forza 6. He installed that on one of the Xboxes. Now it can be played on both Xboxes, and the really cool thing is they can be played on both Xboxes at the same time together.
With each other?
Online. Nice. Yes. So nice. Here's how it works. The Xbox One has this concept of your home Xbox. And what that means is anyone can use the home Xbox in the system without having to log in as you. So I only have one. And mine is the only account on it that has an Xbox Live Gold subscription. That's how it's primarily used for people now. There's only one Xbox Live Gold subscription, but anyone can sign into my Xbox, play my games, and play them online because of all that stuff that I have, because it's my home system. Here's what you do. If you have two machines, you make the machine in your house that you do not primarily play on your home system. You go in and you install all of your games there. Okay?
I'm already puzzled.
I know. It sounds really weird. You take your kid's and then you make the machine that you primarily play on your kid's home system. And here's why. And I'm going to quote from this post that we got over at the Win Super site. When you configure a console as your home Xbox One, any user that signs into that Xbox One can play any of your downloaded games without having to first sign in as you. So when you're on my box, you can play any of my games and not be signed in as me. So if the box that you're playing on is my home, you can play anything that I've purchased.
Got it. But the other box will recognize you and therefore sign you in to play your things anyway.
Exactly. I'm signing in to the one that I use all the time. And because you can sign into any Xbox in the universe as you and play your games. But people can only play your games if they're on your Xbox. That's why you make the other one yours.
Kind of cool.
It is pretty cool. And this is totally legit. Like, you're not scamming the system here, people. This is totally legit, and it absolutely works.
It is a little bit confusing. I mean, do you think that that's really how they intended it to be set up?
You know, it is confusing, but I do think it is pretty intentional, because if you think all the way back to that first announcement of the Xbox One and how it was going to be all digital and they would have game sharing features built in and all that stuff.
Yep. Yep.
This is pretty much the only aspect of that original announcement.
Right.
That's still
so
around.
This is kind of a compromising workaround to provide similar capabilities that they were talking about at that initial announcement.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
So just a nice little tip for anyone considering getting another Xbox in your house. You don't have to go out and buy two copies of all of your games, which is really nice.
Pretty cool. All right. Well, just one quick mobile story tonight. I don't even know if this qualifies as mobile. This is wearable, right? I think by now, everybody's probably seen the leaked images of the new Microsoft Band. Does that include you, Josh?
I have seen them.
So what do you think?
I think it's really pretty.
Yeah, they've done a nice job. And I think one of the big things that most people were complaining about was that flat face that it had that provided such an awkward viewing experience and, frankly, an awkward wearing experience, because you had to wear it down. You had to wear it like you were talking about, where the screen is on the inside of your wrist. That was the only way that you could really wear it. Whereas I think this new device is going to give you a little more flexibility because it's curved.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not that different of a design. The screen still looks to be about the same size and everything. It's still the same buttons and stuff. If these renders are true, it's just that the screen is curved. And they've made the side that's opposite the screen, they've given that a little bit different of a design where that's where the heart rate sensor used to be. And that doesn't look like a heart rate sensor anymore. So there must be some other design changes there. But overall, yeah, this thing looks really pretty. And you know, when you wear the Microsoft Band now, like I do every day, because that display is on the inside, it, you know, to most people, they probably don't realize that band is anything. It just looks like a black band, you know, and maybe they think it's like a Fitbit or something like that, but it is obviously way more than a Fitbit. And if you could turn this around comfortably, A, you're going to be able to see that screen better, like you said, and hey, it might cause more people to take notice and ask you about it. And you know, it's basically self-marketing if it works that way.
It's funny that you say that, because one of the things that Microsoft is obviously going to be dealing with this in this space is that they're late to the space, right? Everybody else had one of these things and they came out with their own. But the problem is that exactly, you don't even see it because it's hidden. Why would you do that? Why would you create something that you can't actually see in the wild when you're the underdog and you want to get attention?
And the only reason that I can think of is that they had to do it to try to meet the constraints of such a small device and still meet pricing constraints and all of that. So price and battery and screen size and where all of these sensors go. I mean, it has, I don't know, 4,625 sensors built into this thing, roughly. So you've got to cram all those in someplace. And that's the only reason I can think of for why they did it that way.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see this. I hope that this is real. I hope that these images are the real images. We expect to see this sometime next month. Is that right?
Well, yeah, with the big hardware announcement being October 6th, I expect it to be announced then, and you know, probably availability shortly thereafter would be my guess.
All right, very cool. Meanwhile, I'm wearing my big and chunky Apple Watch.
Boo.
Which I'll probably continue to wear. But I mean, my point is that I think that Microsoft went down the right path in trying to create something that's a little more svelte and streamlined, as opposed to a watch that's frankly much bigger than I'm used to wearing.
Right. All right. Well, that's it for all the news this week. Let's talk about what's been going on in our entertainment centers.
All right. So I'm going to talk about iOS 9.
What? Did you forget which show you're on again?
Well, now remember, part of my entertainment experience is my iPad. And the iPad came out with this really cool feature that I don't think anybody's ever done before.
Well, Josh, all new features on iPads are revolutionary.
Imagine this. Imagine that you're watching something on YouTube, and while you're doing that, you see a tweet come in that catches your interest. So you want to be able to just, I don't know, out of the side of your eye, maybe check that Twitter stream and see if there's something that you should be looking into. And it's okay because, you know, the video is going to keep playing, but you could somehow manage to bring that Twitter stream into the side of your screen. This is amazing. And I think you're going to love it.
This sounds revolutionary. In fact, we need to wrap this show up so I can go buy an iPad right now, because I've never, ever been able to put one app on one side of the screen and another app on the other side of the screen.
Yeah, well, maybe except on your Xbox and on your Surface. And right. So the iPad finally got this feature. And I have to admit, I have been one of the people who has been saying, why do I want that? Why would I ever, like, how would that be useful? I just want to be focused on the one thing I'm doing on my tablet. That's what the tablet's for, to do one thing. Oh my God, it's so useful to have that little thing on the side.
It's absolutely useful. I mean, I remember when Windows 8.0 came out and me telling people my absolute favorite feature of Windows 8 is this snap view, split view thing. It is so nice to have.
Yeah.
Especially for things like Twitter and stuff, where you just want to keep it off to the side and kind of keep an eye on it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. So, yeah, that's kind of part of what I've been doing. I'm really enjoying that. I think that was a nice addition, and I'll stop being the naysayer on that one. Now, meanwhile, I've been watching a lot of television. I finished season one of Fargo in preparation for the upcoming season. I'm really happy with how that ended. And from what I understand, they are basically resetting and telling a whole new story in season two.
What?
So, well, I don't know how much you know about the series Fargo, but while it has ties and lots of, like, kind of just lobs to the fan base. Like, they sent stuff out to the, in the storyline that were references that you were like, oh, that was awesome. I'm so glad that they did that. Or they mirror a scene from the original movie, or they somehow tie back to it. They did that a lot in season one. But from what I can tell from the previews, it's an all new cast and a whole new story for season two, which I can see them doing because season one basically is a full arc. So they could do something entirely different and it could still be really cool. Just please don't do what HBO did with, I can't even remember the name of that series that they killed in season two.
Was that True Detective?
Yes, that's it. True Detective. I can't remember because I stopped watching it after the second episode because it was so terrible.
So this isn't available to stream free anywhere.
Fargo? It should be on FX now.
Well, is that free?
Well, it's free if you get FX and you have authenticated to then watch it.
Right, but it's not on like Amazon or Netflix right now.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And remember, FX is the network that has, no lie, I counted them, 50 ads per episode.
Yeah, not going to do that, Richard.
Right, yeah. No, I bought the season on iTunes, and I watched it after I bought it, so.
And a season is only 10 episodes, so yeah. You can buy the whole season.
For 20 bucks.
In HD for 20 bucks. Yeah. So I might wait until it's free.
It was really good. I very much enjoyed it.
Okay.
Last week, I mentioned that I had a couple of Blu-ray discs arrive. One of them was Cinderella. And so we watched Cinderella. This is the live action version of Cinderella from Disney. And it was good. But the whole time I'm watching it, I couldn't help but compare it to Ever After, a movie from, I think, the 90s, mid to late 90s.
That sounds right.
As far as I'm concerned, is probably the best telling of the Cinderella story that I've ever seen. I think it's an amazing cast. It's wonderfully acted. It's gorgeous cinematography. And this is not as good as that. And that was disappointing.
Yeah. And to fill in the details, 1998 starred Drew Barrymore.
Yep.
So yeah. Yeah. I remember that one getting a lot of praise back then.
It's a wonderful, wonderful film. If you have not seen it, you absolutely should. I think it's on Netflix. It's fantastic. All right. I mentioned that I was going to watch Minority Report. The pilot was on this week. I watched it. I like it. I think it has a lot of potential.
Of course. It still doesn't change the fact that it's going to get canceled before the season is over.
Oh, why do you have to dash my hopes like that?
It's sci-fi on Fox.
I know.
It's right. A trap.
So I also went back to catch up on Better Call Saul, because this is something that I had started watching, and then I lost steam when I was getting behind on everything. And while the summer is winding down before we get into the throes of the fall season, which are really starting now, I figured, all right, well, catch up on as much as possible. So got a little bit further into that, and I'm enjoying that. It's an entertaining series. I like the tie-ins that they have to Breaking Bad. I don't know if I'll keep up with it after the first season. I don't know. But yeah, it's good. And
you're a digital hoarder. You will. You'll at least record it all.
Forever. Well, right. Exactly. And then after watching the fourth episode of season four of Boston Legal, I'm now waiting for disc two of Boston Legal season four from Netflix. So I haven't carried on with that one yet, but still waiting. Also, apparently, I should be watching Game of Thrones because I think it won every single Emmy award.
I haven't actually looked at any of that Emmy stuff at all. Did what's her name from?
No, she didn't. And, you know, she was up against some really hard competition. You're talking about Tatiana Maslany from
Orphan Black.
Thank you. And unfortunately, she did not win, but it was good. I sped through the whole thing just to be able to see who won the major things. And for the most part, the big winner was the Game of Thrones crew. They won a ton of stuff. Also, a couple of awards to Transparent, the show that I had talked about earlier this year, an amazing show on Amazon. So a lot of good stuff.
Cool.
And then this is my week to pick a podcast. So I am going to recommend something almost brand new. And it is called The Smart Kitchen Show. This is a new podcast. It is a limited podcast that is being put out by Mike Wolf over at Next Market Insights in conjunction with the Smart Kitchen Summit. So this will lead up to the summit and may follow shortly thereafter, but will probably stop shortly thereafter that until a second season sometime next year. This is an incredibly well-produced and executed show. Unlike a lot of the podcasts where we're talking with someone and interviewing someone, and you're basically listening in on a conversation that's like a radio interview, this is much more like the storytelling that you get on things like This American Life, where Mike is having a conversation with you, the listener, and bringing in all these voices from the industry. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, it's done in the way that it shows like Startup and Serial and things like that have been recording. This new style of how to do a podcast, it's got to be really hard to do. And
oh yeah,
and Michael Wolf is doing a fantastic job with it.
Yeah.
On episode one, he's doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, right out of the gate. Right out of the gate. So I highly recommend this. Give this a listen. We'll have a link in the show notes.
Cool. All right, well, my list is much shorter than yours. I've been writing code and stuff instead of watching TV and playing games all that much. So in terms of things I've been watching, after we discussed it last week, I did decide to pick up on The Blacklist Season 2, watched the first 3 episodes, I think, of that. Blacklist, still loving that show, trying to get ready. I doubt I will have all of Season 2 done before Season 3 starts, which is in only a couple of weeks. Of course, I'm really looking forward to Heroes. I'm going to have to get this show produced and released prior to Thursday night, Richard, because...
Is that when it starts?
It's a 2-hour season premiere
Thursday night. I hate those. It's like a hurdle to get going. I want a quick entry.
Maybe they just felt that they couldn't do it justice in 1 hour to get everything in as your entry point to the show, that they couldn't really do it well in 1 hour. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not complaining. The more Heroes I can get, the better. So I'm excited about that. In terms of gaming, didn't do a lot of gaming this weekend either. But we did mention last week that Tomb Raider, the Definitive Edition, is your current free game on the Xbox One. And I downloaded that and sat down and played that for a couple of hours Friday night. I actually have zero experience playing any Tomb Raider games prior to this. And I liked it. It was a lot of fun. It's different in a lot of ways than previous games, you know, after I've talked with some friends who have played a lot more of them. It's a good game. It's a well done game. It's a little odd in that, you know, you're an archaeologist. Like, this is basically the Tomb Raider, the intro story to Lara Croft.
Okay.
And, you know, so she starts out, she's just an archaeologist. She's on this mission. Everything goes wrong. And she's suddenly knows how to use a bow and arrow to hunt for animals to eat, and knows how to field dress a deer with an arrow. And then eventually just starts killing people. And that seems like a hard hurdle to get over for me. So it sounds like a lot of people struggled with that part of the game. I'm sure they're bad people, but that just seems a little weird for an archaeologist. But it's fun nonetheless, and it's free, so why not? And then I had one other tip that I wanted to share with with our listeners who might not have thought of this, because I certainly didn't. I was talking with a gamer friend of mine and saying, what I really want to be playing right now is Metal Gear Solid 5. It just came out a couple weeks ago. I do really want to play it. It's a long single player game, but I've got, you know, a month and a half until the next big title comes out. This would be a great time to play it, but I really don't want to pay $60 for it. So I've been waiting for it to go on sale. And of course, it's not going to go on sale right away. It just came out. And he said, what about the library? And I said, the library?
Wait,
the library doesn't have video games.
The library?
Yeah, the public library. And he said, well, ours does.
Really?
Go and look. And so we brought up the website for our small town public library. And of course, it's really a big network of libraries all around the state. And you can get things from those different libraries sent to your library. And we did a search for Metal Gear Solid 5. Again, this game came out 2 weeks ago. It's available. I'm going to put a hold on Metal Gear Solid 5 and play it for free.
I'm still stuck at your website or your library. I didn't even know that they had those.
Oh, come on. Of course they do.
Seriously. I mean, it has been since high school that I've been in a public library.
Yeah, I don't go to public libraries much. I mean, I knew they had movies and stuff. But the idea that, like, it just seems wrong in a way. Like, you go to library to read books, not to play video games. But apparently, I'm sure that my library can't be the only one. So if you're looking for free games to play, check out your public library. As crazy as that sounds.
That is awesome.
It is.
Wow. All right. Well, that is it for news and what's going on in our entertainment centers. But before we wrap up, a quick announcement. As I think I've alluded to on Home On, I'm going to be traveling to Dallas next month to cover the CD Expo again this year. And that is the second full week of October. And if you're in the Dallas area, or if you're going to be in the Dallas area around that time frame, let us know. Get in touch with us on Twitter or through the website and let us know. And I'll try and set up some sort of meetup to be able to connect with folks. So that is, again, the second full week of October. And it's, I think, Wednesday through Saturday that I'm there.
Cool. I wish I could be there too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, folks like Michael Wolf and the guys from Home Tech FM and a bunch of other people that I probably haven't seen since CES are all going to be there.
Yeah, very cool. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. If you want to get a hold of us and send us some feedback or just chat with us about any of these topics, you can do that in a lot of different ways. We're on Twitter. Richard's account is at Richard Gunther. You know, there's still some people. I got an email, or maybe it was a tweet from a listener who said, I'm new to Twitter. Which account of Richard's am I supposed to follow? And I had to tell him, just follow at Richard Gunther. That's the one to follow now.
You'll get all the voices in my head that way.
Exactly. I'm very simple. I only have one, and that's at Josh Pollard. The website is at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. If you're not a Twitter person and instead you're on Facebook, then you can like us over at facebook.com/theDMZ. Richard's also on Google+. I technically am, but I'm never there. But we do have a Windows Media Center community over there that does pretty well. And then, of course, there's always email. You can send us a message that way. entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. You can also check out our other podcast at the DMZ. We've got The End User. They're back and rolling again after a brief time off over the summer, covering the latest tech news from the end user perspective, and a British invasion on Home On this week.
Finally, right? Yeah. So the episode that took me forever to publish with Gary Whitaker, we had a preempt situation where a funding announcement from Ring ended up having us swap some of our lineup, but really glad to get the episode out with Gary. We had a great conversation. And actually, one of the things that we talked about there was a project that I did recently. Well, not so recently. You did recently, but I did about a year ago to monitor the status of my garage doors. And I just today, or tonight, I should say, got a write-up of that posted out on the Digital Media Zone. So if you want some more information on that, check that out too.
Cool. All right. Well, you can find all of those podcasts, of course, on iTunes and Zune. Well, for a little while longer on Zune. And on Stitcher Radio and TuneIn Radio. And at all of those places except for Zune, you can leave ratings and reviews. And if you like us and you want to help us out in some way, that's the best way you can do that. Go to one of those sites, leave us a rating or a review, and we would greatly appreciate that. Also, if you're looking to really get in on the fun of recording the show, you can come and listen to us live while we record it. Most weeks, that's Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, where we always tweet about when it's going to be because sometimes the day changes or the time, but typically Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Chat along with us during the show. You can have an impact on the show while it's being recorded and just have a lot of fun.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah.
When are we doing this next week?
Tuesday at 8:30.
All right. There you go. I think that's going to be 4 weeks in a row.
What?
I know.
I'm going to have to find something else to do Tuesday night. We can't have that. All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 343. It's a palindrome. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther. And we'll be back next time for episode 344, which is not a palindrome. So it's not as fun or special. Until then, adios.
Goodbye.